You could be seated. Welcome, everyone. This is a very special day for us. I remember some special days at Candlewood. One of those is when our first service at Pineview, and then the moving into this building. But today is a dedication service for our new pastor, Mike Gibbons. And we're excited about that. It's a time of dedication for him and Dee, and also for each other. But before we do that, I'd want to honor some individuals that are part of this process. And one is I'd like Ron Ardell to stand. They're not. Ron Ardell were the pioneers who sort of had the vision God was speaking to them. He brought beside them a group of people. But we want to thank them this morning for what they've done, how they, part of the vision they had. And we'd like to honor them with just a hand of applause, just a thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Also part of this process was the search task force and the vision task force. And somebody who was involved with that heavily, and also he was our chairman and elder for many years from the very beginning, was Jim Reed. So Jim, could you stand and give us, come on up. Jim was instrumental. First was the vision task force. He's going to talk a little bit and recognize who were on those on that task force. But I want to thank him and just for all he's done for Candlewood and for just the dedication that he's put together this whole search process. So let's again applaud for Jim.
When Ron announced that he would eventually be leaving, we knew we needed to find somebody to replace him, take that position. But we decided the first step was to revisit our vision, because if we didn't know who we are and what we wanted to accomplish, we really didn't have any guidance for who we would select. And so that was the beginning process, and there were seven of us total on that: Tanya Clark, Rose DePalma, Laura Duggan, Les Miller, Greg Spiegel, and Craig Zane served on the vision task force. And after we'd gotten almost all done and worn out and didn't do the vision proper, we decided we'd segue into a search task force, and all of those except Craig continued on the search task force. We began just trying to figure out what kind of person did we want. We talked about personality. We talked about gifting. We talked about interests. And so we had a sort of a list, and we used the Free Church's ministerconnection.net, their website, that Glenn was our gateway to. And people who are interested apply, and then we put our form in there, and then there's a matching. And we reviewed all the people. I think it was like 85% match and above. That was over 80 applicants. The nice thing was they didn't know we were looking at them, so we didn't have to send lots of emails. So the team worked really well. Greg was our did a Google Doc, so we all had access to a list where we put our rankings, and we ranked on one, yes, two, maybe, three, no way. And then Rose, was her detail was who kept reminding us, was it 1, 2, 3 or 3, 2, 1, because we couldn't remember. And Les and Tanya just were the comic relief because it was Army versus Air Force. And Laura was the spiritual one. So it was a lot of work. You really need to thank these guys for the hours they put in. And so and we believe God brought everything that we had asked for. And last week we even learned that he was 6'2".
Thank you, Jim. There's a few announcements. I won't go over those. Make sure you look at them. Some important things that are happening this week. Jerry and their move, and also we have men's breakfast is at a different location on the north side, Glenn, of the hospital on the north side of Bruce B. Downs. Men's breakfast. But this time we like to have a time of meet and greet and just to say hello, but also to thank those individuals who are on those task force and thank them for all the work they did. So let's have time to meet each other and greet each other. Thank you.
Well, when Mike and I and some of the leaders were planning for the service, we really wanted someone to come who would be able to challenge us as a church, give us a challenge to continue on the mission we are on to make disciples, to train and make disciples here. And so we immediately thought of Glenn, Arlen Schreiber. That went pretty well, actually. Yeah. Yeah, I got all of us together to boo him because he's very vocal about how I'm his least favorite son. I don't know what I've done to earn that position, but I thought we needed to have some justice. No, but we joke. It's a long running joke between us. But I just am so glad to have my dad and also my mom. So be sure to say hi to my mom. They've been so influential in my life, and just great examples of people who love and serve the Lord and are following hard after Him. And so Glenn, come on up. Let's give him a warm welcome.
I am thrilled to be here. Luke, thanks for the introduction. You're finally starting to make something of your life. Though I do hear he is homeless. It took me a good 10 years of being a believer and getting my identity grounded in Christ before I actually let anyone know what my middle name was. I just did not like my name total, especially my middle name, and to hear it really for the first time in public, it won't be forgotten. Oh, and my initials haven't helped much either over my life. Again, I am thrilled to be with you on this. I've been a part of numerous special occasions, and I do appreciate being invited back. And Ron and Ardell, thank you for getting us started on a great foundation here, and it is really a privilege to be with you and to be able to dedicate Mike not only to ministry. He's been dedicated to ministry for a long time, but dedicated in ministry at this place at this time. So it's a thrill to be with Mike and to meet Dee. You are married. I actually do believe that now that I see this woman next to you that I do trust is your wife. So that's great. Oh, we've known each other for Mike was one of the first people I met when I took this position. And have worked for a long time to get him into our district in ministry and finally occurred. So thank you, Land O'Lakes. And thank you, too. I want to acknowledge the search team and Jim and all that worked so hard. You did a really good job, not only in processing, but actually your choice as well. The prophet Jeremiah decried the lack of responsible leadership in Judah that led to their captivity. Responsible leadership. So obvious when you have it, and so apparent when you don't. One major element of responsible leadership is responsive leadership. Responsive to God and to His mission and to His purposes. Responsive to the needs of those to whom you are leading. And what I'd like to visit with just for a little bit, responsive to the four principles laid out in Scripture that I find Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 hopefully familiar to you. But if you were to follow the track of Scripture and where leaders have risen and where leaders have fallen, you'll see that you can capture what makes them so successful or not by how they've adhered to the principles laid out in these two verses, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, where it reads, "To trust in the Lord with all our heart, not to lean on our own understanding. In all our ways acknowledge Him, and He will make our path straight." So I challenge Mike, I challenge all of us to be responsive to the Lord in these four areas. One, to trust the Lord with all of our heart. Easy to say, difficult to apply. There's so many other things we want to trust in, both personally in our own walks, as also in when we see look at the church and what we want to become, and so many human physical machinations that we want to be a part of to make this thing go. Whether we're trusting in a building or or the marketing campaign or whatever, but it's trusting in the Lord and letting Him to be able to determine where to go. The second principle there is, of course, then, not to lean on your own understanding. And that's so challenging because I know who I am, and I think I know what I can do and not do. And I am who I am, and I can see me and feel me, of course, so I want to get involved in all of this. And yet not to lean on my own understanding, because really, in the large scope of things, we don't want any work to be done simply upon my own understanding. And the third principle is to acknowledge God in all of His ways. In all of our ways, we acknowledge Him. That means every day just waking up and acknowledging that this life that we've been given, we've been given it from Him, that everything that we want to be about is things that He wants us to be about. In all our ways, acknowledging Him, the very fact that we walk in here today and are able to enjoy the company of other friends and partners in ministry is a gift from Him. The very life that we have in Christ is His gift. To acknowledge everything that we have as coming from Him, thus putting ourselves in the proper place and realizing that even though I do work hard, I'm working hard even out of the energy that He's given me, and even that must go back to Him. And then the fourth principle is to trust that He will indeed make our path straight. There are times in this journey, of course, we all know that it just doesn't seem as if we're on a straight path whatsoever. And how can God use the mess that I've made and somehow make sense of it? And yet He can. He's very creative. He's all-powerful. And He's able to take each of our walks and turn them to a point where we look back and we see, wow, I am on the path that He would want. He has made my path straight. But it's only as we're able to acknowledge those first three, to trust in the Lord with all our heart, not leaning on our own understanding, in all our ways acknowledging Him. So Mike, as you look what's before you here with this congregation, in this place, in this community, at this time, I trust that you see God's hand in bringing you here at this place. And for you as a congregation, that you have seen that in all the efforts that have gone before this, that this is the time. There has been a process. We've trusted God for it. We believe He's brought our man and his wife for this particular time and for this particular place. God is making a path straight, and He's doing it right here in Land O'Lakes with this leadership and with this congregation for this place and for this time. Mike, I pray that you'll continue to be that kind of a leader. You have demonstrated that over the years. But now is not the time to rest on those laurels, but to focus in what God would want you to have here at this place and this time, continuing to trust in Him and to move forward. For the congregation, I'd like to mention a word to you as well today. The end of Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul and the Ephesian elders demonstrated their mutual love for one another. Such love and loyalty to Christ and to one another is especially needed in our time today. There are enough challenges out there that we don't need the challenge of having to do battle with those of us that are within here. There are going to be differences of opinions as we carry on in wanting to do the very best for our congregation and ministering to our community. Those differences of opinions can be good and, I would say, are even needed at times. But in spite of those differences, to be able to show the proper respect and to deal with them the way the Lord would want is what's going to be supremely important. To do that, we need to, of course, continue to pray for each other. That's what we're going to do today. And to protect each other from the forces without and even from our forces within that battle against us. And I'd like to have you now, if you would, turn to Romans chapter 12. And I'd like to lead you to five ways that you can pray for each other and work with each other to make sure that we do, in fact, keep our praying and our protecting of one another in line. We want to pray for and protect each other in our relationship with God. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Paul writes, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. It's this relationship, our own individual relationships with the Lord, that we must pray for each other to continue on and to allow ourselves to, as the song said, surrender, abandon ourselves to the Lord, presenting ourselves to Him. That the very fact of our presentation to God of our lives and living not only on Sunday mornings but each and every day sacrifice to Him is pleasing worship to Him and truly living out Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 that we just went over. So it's our relationship with God that it starts with. And that comes, of course, because of what Christ has done on the cross for us. And so with His sacrifice, we are able to in turn sacrifice ourselves to Him. And with that relationship, that presentation, we're able to then lay the groundwork for the rest. What's that rest? Verse 2. We need to pray for and protect each other from our relationship with the world. Verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. It's not easy walking so intimately with this world not to have it infect us, affect us. And we need to pray for each other that we'll be able to guide each and every day in such a way that we're depending on the Spirit, we're depending on the Word of God, to be able to help us to think that through and trust Him to transform our thinking, as I believe it was Luke that prayed, that our minds would be such that they would be patterned after the Lord and after His Word and not conform to this world. So pray for each other. Protect each other's relationship with God and with their and our relationship with the world in such a way, not conformed by it, but transformed by it. The third area you need to pray for each other for and protect each other from would be our relationship with ourselves. This is in verse 3. I was fascinated the first time I came across this verse. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. I was such a self-absorbed young man. I don't know if we ever get away from battling that. But to read this, it was like Paul was writing to me, not to think of myself more than I should, especially not more highly than I should. But yes, think about yourself, but think soberly, with sober judgment, knowing that God has assigned a measure of faith to each of us. To help one another think rightly about ourselves. To not think too highly, but also not to think too lowly. To realize that God has placed a special stamp upon each of us as individuals. And to be able to encourage and bring that out of each other without prompting a prideful response to that, but a very humble response. The very fact that, yes, God has put a special gift within me, a gift of faith that I can trust Him for. That's what we need to pray for each other for. That's also what we need to protect each other from, is that thinking that leads us away from that. Do not think highly of yourself, but think soberly, knowing that God has given each a measure of faith. So, pray and protect each other in our relationship with God, with our relationship with the world, with our relationship even to ourselves. But also we need to pray for and protect each other from our relationship with the body of Christ here. This is in verses 4 through 8. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we through many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts in his exhortation, and the one who contributes in generosity, and the one who leads with zeal, and the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Here what we need to do is protect our body and pray for our body in such a way that we realize that we have indeed been gifted. We've been gifted as individuals, but not for ourselves, but to be able to work in communion with one another, on mission with one another. And as we allow the leaders to lead and the givers to give and the servers to serve and on, that together we're going to form a community that can indeed change the community out there because of how we are working with one another. If we are somehow not allowing ourselves to live out our gifts, or we're somehow dampening the faith that's been given to someone to act in a particular way, then obviously we're not living to our full potential that God would want. One of the things from the very beginning, I don't know why or who it was that influenced me on this, but just very simply, my purpose in life is I want to reach the world for Christ. And I want to do that by mobilizing the local church to be able to be all that she can be, to be ministering out there, to mobilize the local church. And I'm going to use, it's escaping me now, but the one writer, the great Jim somebody. Sorry, we can go beyond it. But basically, to getting the right people on the bus and getting the people that are on the bus in the right seat. How do we mobilize ourselves? By getting the right people involved and getting them rightly involved in the places they need to be. That's a way that we can pray for and protect ourselves and where we want to go, by reckoning that that's what is taking place, that's what God wants to take place right here and now in this body. Well, the fifth area that we can pray for and protect each other with is just our relationship with others. Others not only in here, but here, of course, but others meaning our neighbors, others meaning the people that we work with, others meaning anyone that we come in contact with. And here I go to the rest of the chapter of 12. I won't read it all, but I'll read different portions. But as we interact with others, know that we do so in a way that's being challenged by Paul to let our love be genuine, to abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. As we see what's going on around us, whether it's in the grocery store or whether it's near the water cooler, that we take the principles that Paul gives us here in how to treat one another and how to respond to one another to heart. And we live in such a way. As we live in such a way, it's amazing the opportunities that we're going to have to be able to impact each other's lives and the lives of those out there. Now, no successful, transformative, healthy ministry is ever a one-man show. If church and pastor are to form a partnership that is strong and enduring, we must honor each other as Christ has already honored us. Each to serve the other. All of us on mission together. A mission that's second to none. We are challenged to serve each other well. And that's the challenge that I bring for you this morning. There's another challenge that I'd like to bring in closing. And that's to inform you of something that I've just had the privilege of informing the pastors throughout Florida this last week, as we had three different gatherings. And that's about a vision that our district and our local churches have collaborated with other evangelical free churches around the country. And it was led by our national leaders. It was a vision that was introduced to us a year ago. It was a vision that has been collaborated on, that's been through multiple conversations, that has been revised and redrafted, but finally completed and offered to us as the Free Church by our national leaders. And it reads like this. It reads, "We are praying that God will raise up 1 million disciple makers, impacting millions with the gospel and transforming entire cities and regions globally." It's a disciple-making vision. It's a vision that goes back to Jesus' last words to his disciples, where he challenged them to go and make disciples at the end of Matthew. And that, we see, is part of the irreducible core of what we are about as individual believers and as a church. To me, the irreducible core is a combination of the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. Imagine I put a triangle, and in the middle of that triangle, I have the IC, the irreducible core, that I'm challenging myself and others upon each and every day. The bottom of the triangle is loving God. That's where we find our identity. He is the one who has loved us, created us, and then sacrificed himself for us. The second part of that triangle is loving others. After his heart, the heart that created us and wanted a relationship with us, he wants us now to enjoy with others. So love others. The third part of that triangle is make disciples. The fact that it's not just about us, but it's about us being able to help others find the same relationship with Christ that we have and helping them to become all, as we've just read in Romans, that they can be. And so it's a disciple-making vision where we're praying that God will indeed raise up 1 million disciple-makers. Now, we put that number 1 million in there because we wanted to challenge each other with having to think through, well, if we're going to count disciple-makers, what is a disciple-maker? So now we're challenging our churches and our leaders to think that through. What is a disciple-maker? Well, it's more than just a disciple. It's one who makes disciples themselves. So thinking through, well, how does one make a disciple? How am I a disciple? That's what I'm challenging you to be able to consider in these next months and years. Things that I know you've considered before, but asking you now to join with us. That these disciple makers would impact millions with the gospel. Well, that's a big number, and that can just go right over our heads until you realize that that's going over everybody's heads, and we have to reduce that down to just where it needs to be, and that's with each of us. Who can we be impacting this week in this place at this time with the message that we have and in the life that we want to live through? We call it life flow. I call it life flow, that irreducible core. That as my love for God increases and my love for others increases and my desire to make disciples comes out of my own relationship with God and desire, it'll flow out and want to impact and will, in fact, make a difference in other people's lives. And then as not just myself, but as all of us do that and are committed to do that, then we begin to see our neighborhoods, our communities, and dare I say, even backing up, our households begin to be impacted and transformed with the gospel message. We're praying that God will raise up 1 million disciple makers, impacting millions with the gospel and transforming entire cities and regions globally. My closing note is this. I haven't used this term before. I'm not sure how it'll go over, and I'm sure you'll help me. But I think for me, what helps motivate me in this is to embrace my lostness, to remember from where I've come, to remember that long-haired hippie freak who was a senior in high school, desperately lost, depressed, wanting to be so much, but seeing himself as so little. I don't know what your story is, but we've all got stories if we're in here. And the fact that I need to realize that it was those people around me. For me, it was a shy football coach that courageously stepped out and asked me if I wanted to get full of joy, being prompted by the Holy Spirit at just this time, to where I responded, "Yes, I absolutely do." And then him delivering me to his house that evening, where he hosted an evangelist going through town and him sharing the gospel. But embracing how lost I was at the time and realizing the people right around me that are desperately needing that same word that I received so many years ago. And Father, don't let me forget how desperate I was. And don't let me forget how thankful I am for those that came alongside me at that time and was able to first gain my trust so I would listen and then give me the message that I so desperately needed to hear. So, Candlewood Community Church, Pastor Mike, the rest of you, if you would, embrace your lostness to the degree that it keeps motivating you to rejoice in the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ and to follow His command to want to go and make disciples of others, realizing they are desperate for that same message. They may be at school, they may be at work, they may be your neighbor, they may be someone behind the counter that God just gives you a word and has them at that place. But be aware of the impact that you can have as you remember the impact others have had on you. I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to take place here in the years to come. Ron and Ardell, thank you again for your sacrifice and courage to begin this walk. And for Mike and Dee, for you courageously coming in now and going forward. And for the rest of you in continuing to want to put this together. But we have a mission. God has gloriously allowed us to partner with in this. Let's, dear God, help us to enjoy this journey and let's continue to serve one another well so we can serve our community well as well. Thank you.
Appreciate that. This time we're going to have a prayer time. for Mike and Dee. We'd like them to come forward, and I'd also like our deacons to come forward and our elders to come forward also, and for Jim Reed also to come forward with us to lay our hands on and have a time of prayer for them. You talked about partnerships, but that's why we have Dee also coming in as a part of that partnership. Father God, you are so good to us. Over the years, you've been here taking care of us, but now, Lord, on this special occasion, we pray now for Mike, that you would just be with him and just give him strength. There'll be times, we know, of discouragement. There'll be times of great joy, times of frustration. And so, Lord, be with him, give him strength, help him to just to follow you, to trust in you, to look not only to his own understanding, as already been mentioned from that Proverbs, but just to look and seek you out. Father, we pray for Dee. We pray for their marriage, Lord. We pray for as a partnership there, Lord, you'd help them, the challenges they may face as they go into this sort of new ministry here at Candlewood. Lord, just guide them and be with them, Lord, as you just through all the different times. And we thank you for them in Christ's name.
I have been asked to lead a prayer for the congregation. So if you would bow with me, let's pray for ourselves and for what God has given us. Father, so thankful for what you are doing in this place and especially with these people. Father, this is a special congregation to me, and I know obviously it's one to you as well. We pray that you would, through the power of your Holy Spirit, continue to lead them and to guide them in places that even they can't imagine right now, but that we know that you want us to go, because you have put us together here, and we believe it's for a divine purpose. Father, I pray that as leadership gathers and they think through the opportunities before him, that you give them real wisdom, that you give them an opportunity to see with eyes lifted up, not eyes behind them or eyes even just within that own room, but you lift their eyes up to all the possibilities and believe that they are prompted by you and give them the courage to be able to continue to walk forward. Father, not only for the leaders, but for all of us, is just being trusting you to be able to follow, that we would be good followers of your Spirit and of our leaders. Father, that as we are able to trust you and trust them, that we'll see the ways that you have before us and continue to be walking and moving forward and advancing for the kingdom. We look at this community, Father. I pray you'll give this congregation special eyes, not only as they walk forward each day individually, but as a community here of believers, that you give them special eyes to the area that you've placed them in and help them to know how they can best pray and act in ways that will impact this area for the gospel. Father, I thank you for how you've gifted each and every one here. Help them to see how important they are to this body, and how important it is for them to step up and to be able to trust you to use them in the ways that are going to come about as time goes on. Father, we want to be able to look back and to be able to see and the lives that have changed and to be able to rejoice with them so that we can say that to you be the glory, not us, but oh God, what a great work you have done. We want to say that, we want to see that, and Father, now we want to commit ourselves to that as we surrender ourselves one more to your guidance, to your love, and to your grace in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.